The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At the seventh inning stretch tonight, will be conducted from our booth by Alex Cooper, the creator of Call Her Daddy and CEO of Unwell. Very popular on the podcast circuit.
Are you a podcaster yourself, Zach?
Not a podcaster, but I listen to a lot of pods. So I'm going to step aside so they can come in here and get set to conduct the stretch.
Don't forget your smart speakers.
It's never dull at Wrigley Field, Pat. Never dull.
That picture the Tribune had of poor Pat acting as if the dancers might fall on him, I felt really bad. That's our guy.
He seemed terrified.
Yeah. Sully wrote a great piece about it in Tribune. Jeff Agress wrote about it in the Sun-Times. I love what Sully said. Like, they're, like, to further the point of the Cubs wanting their cake and wanting to have their cake and eating it too, there are plenty of people that they should consider inviting that they haven't. Steve Stone should do the seventh inning stretch. He's never had a chance. And Sully wrote about that. He should have a chance to do the seventh inning stretch. He means as much to Cubs fans and was sitting in the booth with Harry while Harry was doing this for a long damn time, and he's never been asked to do the stretch.
I agree with that. Jeff Agress wrote specifically about Stoney a couple weeks ago about how the Cubs could honor him now that they've honored Sammy. I think that makes all the sense
100%.
In the world.
100%. You could find a day that Stoney's not going to travel with the White Sox and the Cubs are in town and have him come over there.
So when we invite people to sit in with Tributosaurus, people don't kind of, they used to not know what it is. Is it a cover band? Is there, are you just play it however you want?
That's why you always say we're not dressed up in costumes.
Right. We call ourselves the Chicago Symphony Orchestra of Rock and Roll because it's a legit gig. You're trying to actually play the song like it is on the recording. But when it's time to solo, go ahead and be you, unless there is a space in the solo that you think a specific lick needs to be properly done so people's ears can have it. What I'm saying is that's a difficult thing to communicate to people when you're asking them to come to your house as artists. And we used to joke about coming up with a one-sheeter. Let's draw up a one-sheeter.
So you have one?
We don't, but we have the conversation with everybody if we need to. We make sure as we hire people, hey, by the way, this is what we're doing.
This is what we expect. And this is how we do
and
it.
And we know it might
this
not be
how we
right.
Do
this
it.
Might not be exactly how you would do it in this song that you've
this
played your whole life. But
it.
This is how we do it. So I give you another one. Yeah, but so come and come to our house and let's do it this way together. Are you cool? And if they say no, then you're like, all right, thanks so much. We'll do something else some other time.
Let me ask you a philosophical question,
please.
And I am not putting Alex on this level, but I just want to ask the question.
Okay.
What if Andy Kaufman had done that?
If Andy Kaufman had done what Alex Cooper did,
mm-hmm. It would be celebrated. What if Baron Sacha Baron Cohen would have done that? Now we're talking about genius, right?
No.
Like now we're like, oh, look,
well,
that's so awesome what he did.
If
like
Sasha
his
did, well, hold
remix
on.
Of it.
You know this though. If Sacha Baron Cohen did, that's Borat. If he did it, he'd be clearly laughing at and making a mockery of the kind of people that would do that, and he'd be going after the Cubs, saying, you shouldn't let me into this space, and this is what you get. Because that's how his comedy works.
That's kind of how I see what Alex did.
But you know that was, she wasn't thinking about it on that level. No way.
I don't know that.
She's just out there getting hers.
I don't know that. Which one should we go to first? Jamie? All right, Jamie. Welcome to the Speak One Home Show. What's on your mind?
I was at the game the other night, and I have a 20-year-old daughter, and I told her Alex Cooper's doing the seventh inning stretch, and she listened to it. And I want to let you know, if the Cubs are looking for a certain audience, they totally hit it on the mark, because she loves her, and she thought she was great. And when she heard them booing, she's like, they need to get over it, because, like you said, this is Alex's brand, and her audience loved it. And she also commented that, you know, like you just said a bit about Andy Kaufman getting a pass and whatnot, if they had done this, there have been plenty of people who have been, Chicago people have gone up there incredibly intoxicated, and they still let them have the mic and do it, and they got a pass, and yet Cooper didn't.
I think that's a fair point, Jamie.
I don't because, again, it's about the intent and the willingness to make a mockery. But I understand about the drunken thing. I'll say this. If the Cubs hear that kind of thing and take the idea, well, we reached some 20-year-olds and still think it was worth it, that'll be a very interesting response. To me, I feel like, Lawrence, this should be the tipping point where the one-sheeter, or at least the conversation of this is the way we do it here, needs to be had with everybody, just like the anthem, as you brought up, that the way they do it now. I feel like this better be the tipping point.
I did find myself, like, after going back and watching it, I found myself going, because Tom usually is there every night. I was curious, like, how Tom felt about that. And I wonder if on Monday morning, there were a lot of phone calls and text messages and emails to be like, I need someone to explain to me what happened and why. Like, I found myself like, if I were Tom, knowing how Tom has felt about the Wrigley experience, the Cubs overall, as a fan, not even as an owner, I do wonder if he was like, huh, if he like got on his phone and was like, what the was that? And I'm going to need a good explanation for why something like that should happen again.
And if that call gets made, then there probably has been lots of conversation about how are we doing this? What are our standards? And maybe my wife will get that call to be the screener, since that's what she's dying to do.
Are we just doing a backwards segment so that we can get Steen this job? Is that what's happening right now?
I don't believe that's the case.
Yeah, it feels like that's where we're trending.
Hey, you know? Teddy,
I got to be honest with you.
Taking Lawrence's side. It happened that fast. Really?
That fast. Wait, 9 months? How long have we been together?
And plus, you guys go way back. Yeah. You used to work together.
You used to produce my show.
Oh, yeah.
The solo one.
Yeah, there's that.
It's pretty good.
By the way, fans doing it?
Oh, Lawrence is missing the solo show.
Fans doing the stretch? No, thanks.
No?
No.
Some specially vetted fans? Yeah. I think that'd be a lovely moment, possibly.
It would never stop. It would be, here's a season ticket holder for 20 years. Oh, we found one for 30 years. And it would just never end.
I get you on that. You're right about that. That there would be all sorts of things. People would run sob stories at the Cubs. So there is a danger in it. But let's hear from Louie in Rockford. Hey, Louie, you're on the score.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, Louie.
Let me tell you this. The way I would start it out is, how cool is this? And then I would say, let me hear you. And I'll finish it with, let's get some runs. I've been watching the Cubs since I was 5 years old in 1966. And to me, from Jack Brickhouse to Harry Carey to Pat Hughes and the fans at that park, it's a great place to be. I raised my kids Cubs fans, and that's it, you know?
Thank you, Louie.
And I'm proud to be an American.
Hey, listen, who wouldn't want that 81 times a year?
I feel fans
every day.
I feel Louis' passion, though. Like,
of course.
He's saying, man, I could have done that
I
for
know,
you.
But look, and here's the thing. Baseball is for everybody, Louis. There's a texter that says, Speaks, calm down on this. Baseball wants a new audience.
Yeah.
You're treating it like blasphemy. It's only baseball. See, it's not only baseball. That's the whole thing.
It's still real to me, damn it.
It is because that's part of the selling point of places like Wrigley and Fenway and Yankee, and the sport itself is like the decades of tradition and romance and emotion that get put in there. So it's them trying to have the cake and eat it as well. That's what it is. And the cake just struck back. And so do you just let more cake in? For the rest of
I've kind of lost the metaphor now.
Are we letting a cake do the stretch now? What's happening?
Oh, we should let the Pop-Tart do that.
Do you use a fork to eat the cake from now on? Or do you go with the spoon, Danny? This is what I'm saying.
Louis!
That's one of those trick questions. You're not going to trap me, Speaks.
Who's got something? nothing for me to dip. Here's some Baba Ganoush.
I want to dip my...
All right, let's go on out to Jim, who's in Rogers Park. Hey, Jim, you're on the score.
Hey, Jim.
Hey, guys. Hey, Matt, you and I worked together about 25 years ago with your friend Lenny Pincus.
Oh, okay.
On where the action is. I'll just leave it at that.
Got you.
Do you remember?
I do, yes. Anyway.
Where was the action?
It was jingles singing. So there's a possible Feldco connection here with Jim.
Oh, okay.
As well, but it's the same realm. But yeah, go ahead, Jim. What do you think about all this?
Yeah. So here's the deal. You go to Wrigley, it's a community, right? I mean, there's 36,000, 38,000 people there, and you are a community, and your focus is on what's going on the field. And when people get up there and do the seventh inning stretch and sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game, most of the time they're kind of, you know, increasing the community-ness of the whole thing, right? Everyone's singing together, everyone's part of it. This is a very look-at-me moment by a look-at-me person. And I think that's where the train left the tracks for her.
Jim, I agree wholeheartedly. And I know that it can get sanctimonious and overly emotional and all that. But the thing is, it is a successful thing because it serves the fans. And in that way, it's the same as a musical endeavor or other artistic endeavors. Certainly the one I was talking about with our thing and the one-sheeter. Serving the fans. And that moment is supposed to serve the fans. And Lawrence, I think you actually agree with that.
I agree with you 100%, which is why I think that you should simplify it and actually serve them.
Yeah, and this is a time where they tried to serve other masters and thought they could get away with serving other masters like growth and brand and still serve the fans, and it blew up in their face.
The other thing is, and I just want to speak to this because I'm trying to be aware of my own surroundings as I get older inside of this medium. There's stuff that's just not for us. There just is, and I've accepted that over like the last decade or so in our industry. Like, there's stuff that's not for me. And that's okay. Like, it's okay for me to seek out the stuff that is for me. Or if someone's like, Lawrence, you should check this out. Because even though it's not maybe on your radar, you might like this. And then maybe there are pieces of some of that stuff that is for me.
For sure, for sure.
But I do think that as we get older, we have to be honest in the fact that in the media landscape that we're in, whether it's the two of us or the quintessential like score listener inside of our demo, there's just stuff that's not for us. And a lot of teams are going to try and squeeze, to be cynical about it, every dollar
for sure
out of those things that aren't necessarily for us.
I agree. And this is a moment of that, and you see it all over the place. The fact that the social media presence and skill set of people on your organizational staff to take advantage of this kind of thing has slowly built over the last decade, where now it's a necessity. It's a full-on necessity that you live in that space. And so they're trying to get all sorts of people and thread the needle, and this was a failed needle thread.
We talked about it yesterday. Like, we did the hypothetical of if this show was asked to do it, how I would feel uncomfortable doing it because of my Sox fandom. Like, that would feel duplicitous to me.
Ah, really? But you love baseball and you love Wrigley.
I do. I don't see,
but I think you just said it yourself last segment that if you love baseball and love the place, it's fine.
I think Vin Scully's approach to this is the right one. He said that when he did the stretch, he did it for Harry. And if he did it again, he'd be doing it for himself. And to me, like, if I were to do it, I'd be doing it for me. And that's not right.
That's very well said, Lawrence. But just to put a bow on this thing, this was not even the most offensive thing to happen at Wrigley this weekend. Did you guys see the other thing?
Was Flo Rida there too?
No. Alvin Kamara,
oh,
throughout the first pitch.
He really did.
Didn't go over well. He got a second one. He got a do-over on first pitch.
Who gets that? Who gets a second pitch?
Carl Lewis.
Second pitch is not a thing.
No. Carl Lewis got a second pitch.
It's not a thing.
What about the sanctity of the first pitch?
Exactly.
Thank you, Alex.
Your ire is misdirected, both of you.
I don't like when my ire is directed.
Fair enough.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.